Picture yourself in the soup. I'm Pattern, and you're on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hanger. Today, I want to walk you through one of the most dangerous and most underappreciated emergencies in instrument flying, the vacuum system failure that begins quietly, without fanfare, while you're already relying on the instruments it powers. Here's the scenario night, cross-country. 3 hours into a four-hour leg. You filed instrument flight rules, picked up your clearance without a hitch, and you've been grinding through solid instrument meteorological conditions, or IMC, since about 5 minutes after takeoff. The autopilot is doing the work. You're monitoring. The attitude indicator says wings level. The heading indicator confirms you're on course. Then, subtly, the heading indicator starts to drift. Not sharply, just slowly. You bump the heading bug. You look at the attitude indicator. Something feels slightly off, but you can't pin it down. The instrument reads, wings level, something in your gut is whispering. That whisper is your vacuum pump dying. Quick shout out before we get into it to our friends at aviationsoul.com. Challenge coins for every step of the aviation journey for solo, private pilot, instrument, commercial. Mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, let's start at the beginning. In most single-engine piston aircraft, the vacuum system is a pneumatic power source. A vacuum pump, driven off the accessory drive of the engine, creates suction. That suction drives two gyroscopic instruments, the attitude indicator and the heading indicator. These are the two instruments right in the center of your scan. They are the foundation of instrument flight. The pump pulls air through the gyros, spinning the rotors up to speed. On most light aircraft, the required suction is somewhere around 4.5 to 5 inches of mercury. Your cockpit has a suction gauge, usually a small green band gauge, somewhere in the instrument cluster, and that gauge tells you whether the pump is producing adequate suction. When the pump is working, the gyros are spinning at full speed. The attitude indicator shows you the real world. The heading indicator holds its gyroscopic heading. When the pump fails, the gyros start coasting down. They don't stop immediately. They spin down slowly. And that is exactly what makes this failure so dangerous. The vane-type carbon vacuum pump, which is what most general aviation aircraft use, is designed to be inexpensive and reasonably reliable. It is also designed to eventually fail. The average service life is roughly 500 flight hours, but you won't find that written in a big warning label anywhere obvious. More importantly, these pumps can fail without any warning at all. The carbon vanes inside wear down, and eventually they just stop working. No vibration, no noise, no indication other than that suction gauge dropping out of the green. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association Air Safety Institute has studied vacuum system failures extensively. They are not exotic failures, they happen to real pilots on real flights, so you're in IMC. The pump fails. What happens in your cockpit? The suction drops. If you're scanning your instruments properly and you include the suction gauge in that scan, you'll see the needle fall out of the green. That's your warning. That's your act now signal. But here's what accident reports show. Pilots don't always scan the suction gauge. It's a small instrument, often tucked to the side, not part of the primary instrument scan most pilots develop in training. So the pump fails, the suction drops, and the pilot doesn't see it. Meanwhile, the gyros are coasting down. The attitude indicator still reads wings level for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. It still looks normal. Maybe it's slightly slow to respond to actual aircraft movement, but subtly so. Then the attitude indicator starts to lie. Because the rotor is spinning slower now, the gyroscope is losing its rigidity in space. It starts to tumble, and when it tumbles, it doesn't give you an obvious instrument failed reading, it gives you a wrong reading. It might show a 5-degree bank when you're actually in a 20-degree bank. It might show wings level when you're entering a spiral. You look at it and believe it. Because that's what we train instrument pilots to do. Trust your instruments. The heading indicator goes through the same process. It starts to drift, then wander, then give you false heading information. If you're in solid IMC with no visual reference, believing two instruments that are giving you wrong information is enough to kill you. The aircraft departs from controlled flight while you watch instruments that appear normal. This is how vacuum system failures become fatal. Not all at once. Not with a dramatic alarm. Gradually, quietly, while you're doing everything right except catching the one thing you needed to catch. So, recognition first, because recognition is everything. The suction gauge must be part of your instrument scan. Every few sweeps, your eye needs to go to that gauge and confirm it's in the green. If you're not doing that now, start tonight. Build it in before you ever need it. What else tips you off? The attitude indicator and heading indicator will start to disagree with your other instruments. Your turn coordinator, which is electrically powered on most aircraft and not vacuum powered, will tell you one thing. Your attitude indicator will tell you something different. When two instruments disagree, that is not a moment to ponder, that is an emergency. Your magnetic compass is also electrically independent. Old technology, magnetic works without vacuum, works without electrical power. If your heading indicator is showing 360 and your magnetic compass is showing 270, one of them is wrong. In a vacuum failure scenario, it is not the compass. The cross-check is everything. Attitude indicator against turn coordinator. Heading indicator against magnetic compass. If they disagree, find out why. Now. Let's say you've recognized it. You're in IMC. Suction gauge is in the basement. Your vacuum-powered instruments are compromised or completely failed. What do you do? This is where partial panel flying comes in. And this is a skill that honestly does not get enough practice time in most instrument training. Partial panel means flying on what still works when the vacuum system has failed. The turn coordinator. Electrically powered, this tells you rate of turn, and, on most aircraft, coordination via the ball, the airspeed indicator. Pitot static, no vacuum required, works. The altimeter, pitot static, works. The vertical speed indicator, pitot static, works. The magnetic compass, works. The engine instruments, all work. What you don't have is the attitude indicator and the heading indicator. That is a serious reduction in situational awareness, but it is survivable if you know what you're doing. The turn coordinator becomes your primary bank reference. On standard rate turn coordinator markings, the tick marks on either side represent a standard rate turn, 3 degrees per second, which completes a 180 degree turn in exactly 1 minute. If you want to turn left, put the needle on the left tick mark and hold it there. Count the seconds. After 60 seconds, you've turned 180 degrees. That math is your new heading indicator. Wings level means the needle is centered. For pitch, you're managing with airspeed and vertical speed. If your airspeed is increasing and your altimeter is unwinding, your nose is going down. Bring it up. If your airspeed is decreasing and your altimeter is climbing, your nose is high, ease off. The attitude indicator in your head is now built from 4 separate instruments instead of 1. This is harder, significantly harder than flying with full instrumentation. Not a criticism, just physics. You're doing more cognitive work per second. Your scan is working overtime. That's why you need to practice this before it ever happens for real. Now, let's talk about the magnetic compass, because on partial panel, it becomes one of your primary heading references, and it has some quirks you need to know cold. The magnetic compass is reliable in cruise flight, straight and level, when the aircraft is not turning or accelerating. In that condition, it reads true magnetic heading, but it has well-known errors. The first is northerly turning error. When you're in the northern hemisphere and you turn through north, the compass will lag. If you're rolling out on a heading of north, the compass will read less than north until you're actually established. The practical rule, when turning to a heading of north, roll out when the compass shows your intended heading plus the number of degrees of your latitude. At latitude 35 degrees north, roll out of the turn to north when the compass shows 335 when turning to south, the compass leads. Roll out late. East and west, the compass is relatively accurate on rollout. The second error is acceleration and deceleration. When you speed up, the compass in the northern hemisphere will show a northerly indication regardless of your actual heading. When you slow down, it shows southerly. This is most pronounced on easterly and westerly headings. The mnemonic is ANDS, accelerate north, decelerate south. Know it. Use it. When you see unexpected compass behavior during a speed change, you'll know what's happening and you won't chase the needle. These errors don't make the compass useless. They make it a tool that requires knowing how to use it. And on partial panel, that's the tool you've got. Let me give you the bigger picture on the skill itself. The Airman certification standards for the instrument rating require you to demonstrate partial panel flight. The examiner will cover your attitude indicator and heading indicator, and you'll fly certain maneuvers using only the remaining instruments. The standard is to maintain your assigned altitude within 100 feet, your assigned heading within 10 degrees, and your airspeed within 10 knots. Those tolerances are tighter than they sound when you're rebuilding your picture from 4 separate instruments. Here's something I wish someone had told me earlier in training. Practicing partial panel under the hood is supposed to feel uncomfortable. That discomfort is the point. You should feel the difference between full panel and partial panel. Feel how much harder it is, and then practice it until it's uncomfortable but not overwhelming. That's where the skill lives. Every few months, under the hood with a safety pilot. Cover the instruments yourself and work the problem. Not once before the check ride, and then never again. Now beyond stick and rudder, when this failure happens in real IMC, you have important decisions to make quickly. Declare an emergency, get on with air traffic control, and say Mayday. Tell them you have a vacuum system failure, you're in instrument conditions, and you need assistance. Air traffic control, or ATC, can vector you to an airport, help you find a break in the clouds, give you an approach, and reduce the cognitive load on you so you can focus on flying the aircraft. There is no prize for solving this alone. Think about your options early. Can you descend out of the clouds? Is visual meteorological conditions or VMC available below? Is there an airport within range? ATC has weather information. Use them. Declare early, when things are still manageable, not when they've gotten worse. The earlier you get help, the more options you have. Some aircraft have redundancy built in. A standby vacuum pump. An electric backup gyro, if you fly one of those aircraft, know how to activate the backup before you ever need it. Not during the emergency, before the pilot's operating handbook, or POH, has that procedure. Run it on the ground, own it before you need it. Modern glass cockpit aircraft, like those with a Garmin G1000 installation, have largely eliminated the traditional vacuum pump. The primary flight display is electrically powered, failure modes are different, and you need to understand your specific aircraft. But if you're flying behind a traditional instrument panel, your vacuum dependency is something you need to know inside and out. The broader lesson here is about single points of failure. In most light general aviation aircraft, the vacuum pump is a single point of failure for two of your most critical instruments. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the industry have known this for decades. The response has been to train pilots in partial panel flight, which is the right response. It means partial panel skill is not a checkride formality. It is literally what stands between you and a fatal accident if that pump fails in the clouds. The pump doesn't pick a convenient moment to fail. That's not how mechanical components work. But what you do in the first 60 seconds after you notice something is wrong can determine whether this story has a good ending. Primary sources today include the AOPA Air Safety Institute and the FAA Instrument Flying Handbook. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern Fly Safe.